Okay, let's get into the ninth perek of Megillas Esther, the ninth, second to last perek, where we have now, remember, Haman has been killed, and Bnei Yisrael are trying to make sure that the Gzeira, the first letter that went out that to sell to kill the Jews, they want to be mevatel that letter, so they send out a second letter to say that the Jews have every right to defend themselves and to wipe out anybody who stands up against them. Mordechai went out, Bilavush Malchus, right, with much pomp and circumstance, in order to again instill fear and trepidation and awe amongst all of the nations. And this parak tells us that now what happened months later, what happened on that 13th of Adar, exactly how Bnei Yisrael wanted it to be fulfilled. They stood up and they fought all of the anti-Semites, all the enemies that got up, the Nafochu, and instead of their being killed, they killed many of the enemies. They stood up and nobody was against them. Mordechai was great. The Jews were uplifted, and they killed thousands of people who wanted to kill them. First, they killed 500 in Shushan, including ten of the sons of Haman. Chazal say he had a lot more. They didn't touch any of the spoils. And then Esther asked for one more day to fight the enemies in Shushan, and they did. And then they hung the sons of Haman also to instill fear. They again did not touch the Biza. Throughout the different countries, they killed many thousands, 75,000 of the people of the land that wanted to kill them, but Bnei Yisrael were able to fend them off and fight them, and throughout the land they fought on the 13th, they rested on the 14th, and in Shushan they had an extra day of fighting on the 14th, and rested on the 15th, and eventually they were misaken the Yantif of Purim with Mishloach Manos and Mishne V'Simcha, as we will see, Matanos Lev Yonim, and this all goes back because Bnei Hashem helped them defeat Haman, who was Mapil Pur. And that's why these days are named Purim, says the Perek. These days are Niskarim V'Nasim. A lot of these psukim, many of these psukim are darshan in the first part of the Masechta, Maseches Megillah, about the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah. Esther wrote the Esther Mordechai combined, writing the Sefer, writing the letters, writing the Megillah, so that Klal Yisrael will have it for generations. That's the Perek before we get to the next Perek with Hashem, which only has three psukim in it. That'll be Perek Yud. But now we get into Perek Tes. So here we go. Again, there's a lot of halacha learned out from this Perek, because this is the Perek that talks about the Takana Purim, the Takana of the Yadav Purim, which maybe we'll get back to in the next Perek as well. U'b'shnei Masar Chodesh U'chodesh Adar, fine, on that day, what we call Tainus Esther today, the 13th of Adar. B'shlosha Asar Yom Bo, on the 13th, Asher Higia Dvar HaMelech V'daso L'Heasos, that was the day that the law was going to be done. But Yom Asher Sibru Oyvei Yehudim L'Shlopohem, on the day that the enemies of the Jews expected to prevail over them, V'Nahafochu, and it was flipped. Asher Yishlotu Ayehudim Hema Bisonheim, it was the Jews that overcame their enemies. And this word, this phrase, captures the entire essence of the whole story. V'Nahafochu, every Sefer on Purim talks about this. The Ar Gedalia on Purim discusses that. That captures everything. That the Galus, the problems became seeds of the Geula. And this the chatam that they did became a tshuva me'ava. Nira ech shakalos on advarm shayusiba lahara, ayidea tshuva shal b'nei Yisrael, nevchula hasiba lahageula. Right, says the Ar Gedalia. That suda, that was their tsaris, that was caused Vashti and Esther, and it was all v'nafochu, it was all upside down. The tree that Haman was going to use ended up being for Mordechai, and Charvona used to be bad, and it always was good. Right, all the things turned on their heads, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was inside. Nikolai Yehudim Bareim B'chom Medinos HaMelech HaChashverosh. All the Jews gathered. L'shloch Yad B'makshi Rasham. To defend themselves. V'ishlo Amad Lifnehem Ki Nafal Pachtam HaKol Amim. Nobody stood in front of them. Different Gersos, different versions of how we read this pasuk. Lifnehem, Bifnehem. V'chol Sorei Medinos V'chashtar Penim V'pachos. And all the officers. V'ozi HaMelecha. Right, this was a major PR war that Mordechai and Esther had fought in the letters earlier. So besides the Hamonam that was fighting, but all of the officers and the governments of those lands, Menasim es Yehudim, they raised up the Jews. Ki nafal pachan Mordechai alem, because the pachad of Mordechai fell on them. Because in the previous parak, he walked outside like a royal, like the king is behind everything he does. Ki gadol Mordechai bebeis hamelech, because the Mordechai became great in the king's house. Vishama holech b'chol medinos, his reputation was throughout the lands. Ki yish Mordechai holech v'gadol. V'yakwa Yehudim b'chol oyveihem makas cher v'herek v'avadon. They did exactly what they were was going to be done to them. Vayasu ba'osonehem kirtzonam. Uveshushan abir hargu ha'yehudim ba'abed chamesh meos ish, 500 men. Ves parshandasa, the names of Haman are listed. Dalfon, aspasa, parasa, adali, vesaridasa, parmash, vesarisa, vesaridim, vesvaisasa, aseras b'nei Haman. The vava vaisasa is tall, at least to symbolize that they, what they were hanged on. Gemara says also different minhagim, as we know, to read this, whether the chazan reads this or everyone reads it together. The Gemara Megillah says that lechachila one's supposed to read all of these sons in one breath. That's the Gemara at the end of the first parak. Remember, from Daf Yud to Daf Tezayin, the entire Megillah is darshins, right? All of these programs that were on Tezayin were all the way towards the end. Aseres b'nei Haman, Amar of Adad min Yafo, Aseres b'nei Haman, v'aseres sarech lemimrinhu b'neshima achas. You have to read it, sarech, in one breath. They all were killed at the same moment, not one after another. Tosva says, Nira tayda lechadchila, but b'di'eved yatsa, lechadchila is supposed to read it in one breath, but b'di'eved, one didn't have to. This is machlokas, the chayadam, the safas paneach, about whether one has to read it, right? In many shuls, they pause, and everybody says it to themselves, and then the chazan says it. And in some shuls, no, just the chazan says it. Right? But some say it's the nafkamina. How do you understand shomea ka'one? Could shomea ka'one also transfer the fact that you have to read it in a certain way, not just reading it? So that could be the machlokas in the minhagim. But either way, this is these are the sons. The Yalkut in Parshas Beshalach says that Parshandasa, this son of Haman, right, he helped build the tree of 50 amos with a piece of wood from the Teva of Noach. Right, from the Teva of Noach, there was a special monument that was made, but he took a piece of wood and he used it. So what's the symbolism of that? That's a good kasha, but that's the Yalkut. Rav Nevazal points out, he says that one of his Baal Kriya teachers said that when he reads it, because the Baal Kori has to focus so much on reading these Baal in one breath, so it's very hard to read the Ve'eses in order. And if you read the one Ve'es, and then you look back at the previous word, that's Korel Mafreya. You're not Yotzei. Better not to look at the Ve'eses. Just to say them, and that part of the Megillah you read out pet. Those Ve'eses you read out pet. Interesting, Bali Kriya should ask their poskim. But Rav Nevinzal quotes that here in his commentary, that he was told that from Rad Arend, right? His teacher who taught him how to lane. Yesh likro eskol Ha've'es Baal Peh. Because it's good. Unless you use, if you use a pointer or your fingers, then you have to do it carefully. But that's what he says. Aseres b'nei Haman ben Hadassah Yudim. So again, the 10 sons of Haman. Rashi says why these 10. There were many other children because these were the ones that were told earlier. Told Hachashverosh to stop the Beis Hamikdash from being built. They were Kori Sitna, the psukim that are described in Nehemiah. B'nei Haman and Hadassah Zorah Yehudim Haragu Uvabizel Shochas Yadav. They didn't touch the spoils. Why did they touch the spoils? So Rashi quotes Lo Yitin Amelach Ein Zor B'Mamon. Right? Rashi says because so the king wouldn't think that they're taking money from him. This is, it seems to be Rashi Lishitaso because Rashi elsewhere talks about why. Shmuel commanded Shaul to wipe out all of Amalek, even the property, because, said the animals, because the Amalekim dressed up like animals. The Rabbeinu Bachayit in Beshalach, unclear where he gets this from. Rabbeinu Bachayit in Beshalach says, we mentioned this in the last parak, that the Nichse Amalek are Aser Bahana. He says it as a Dover Pashut. Ki Amilchama Vashlal Akol Ye Aser Bahana. V'yakol Hashem. Lo Lebnei Adam. And that's why he says here, the Lo Shalach Was Yadam, because they will be sucking the chait of earlier when some of the spoils were taken. But again, Rashi sounds like there is no such Yisr. So they killed all these people. They didn't take the spoils. Bayamahu ba mispara arugim b'shushan abir lefnei melech. The king found out what was going on. V'yomer melech lester amalka b'shushan abira. The king says, Harwa Yehudim, v'abein chamesh meyoshis, v'atazeres b'nei Adam b'shar b'dinos ha-melech. Right, me asu. Right, so what happened? All these people were killed. The Gemara says at this point it sounds like he's going to get angry. 500 men were killed. That's everybody were killed. And now he says, and what else could I give you? What else? What else? That's what the Gemara says. That it sounds like he switched gears. But Tamar Esther Malamach Tov. Esther says one more day. Yinasim gam machar to finish. To show that they are acting on the king's, with the king's ratzon and defending themselves. One more day, and please hang the sons. They're already killed. What are you hanging them for? Again, it's all about the PR. The Malbim says, "La hafchid al hashar." Vayomar Melach Le'asos Kain Vatinasin Das B'Shushan. That was the rule. Vatzeros Bnei Hamantalu. They hung. Vayikalu Ayehudim Asher B'Shushan Gam Vayomar Ba'asal Acholish Adar. One more day. Vayargu B'Shushan Shlosh Me'Ozish Another 300. So 800 men. Upabiz Loshoch Was Yotam. Vishar Ayehudim Asher B'Dinos Hamelach Nikalu Ba'amon Anafsha Vanoach Ve'Yavihem Vaharog Basoniam Chamisha V'Shivim Elef 75,000. Upabiz Loshoch Was Yotam. Nobody touched the spoils. Vayom Shlosh Asal Acholish Adar. They did that on the 13th. Vanoach Bacham Barbaser Bo. Va'asu Aso Oso Yomishtev Simcha. They made that day of the 14th a day of Mishtev Simcha. Vayehudim Asher B'Shusha Nikalu B'Shlosha Asarbo. One extra day of Arba Asarbo. Vanoach B'Chamisha Asarbo. Va'asu Oso Yomishtev Simcha. So they obviously had one later date, and that's why, of course, we have the 2 days of Purim. Alkein HaYehudim HaPrazim HaYoshvim Barei HaPrazos. Those that sit in the open cities. The open cities. Rashi, of course, quotes, what does open mean? It doesn't mean then, but it means from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Why Dafka Yehoshua ben Nun? That's a machlokas, Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says it's a Gzera Shava. The Gemara in Megillah on Dabez Mabe says it's a Gzera Shava. Praze, praze. Right? Yelah Ksif Hachal, Kena Yudim HaPrazim, Ksif Hasam, Levan Me'or HaPrazi, Arbe Ma'od. Ma'wa Hawa, and Yevos Yehoshua ben Nun. The Yerushalmi, the Ran quotes the Yerushalmi that says, no, to get covered to Eretz Yisrael. Well, you can have Shushan having a special din, and Yerushalayim is going to be just like everyone else, because Yerushalayim was Charev at this time. So you make it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun with Shushan. Shushan is an exception, and then the days of Yeshua ben Nun, so that way Yerushalayim can be included. Yerushalayim is the only one that does it today. Vaday only on the 15th. But many other cities, 10 cities or so, do it on both, but they make a bracha on the 14th. Okay, I do not presume, I yishrim bar parzos, osim es yom, arbo asar lachodesh adar, simcha, umishte, v'yom tov. Umishloach manos ishlarei eyu, right? Simcha and mishte, yantif, right, as suda, and mishloach manos ishlarei eyu. The Gemara in Psachim Darshins, and the Gemara in Beitza, that mishte v'simcha, this teaches us a halacha. We know there's a general machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua about how to celebrate days of Yantif, how to celebrate. Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ein lo ladam biyantif ela o ochav shoset o yoshev shonet." Rabbi Yeshua, you could be in spirituality all day, or you could be in gashmius all day. Rabbi Yeshua omer chalkeu chetzi lachilu v'shasiyah v'chetzi leveisam edrus. No, chetzi lachem v'chetzi lachem. That's what we paskin. But the Gemara says three exceptions. Then that everyone, even Rabbi Eliezer, agrees that you have to have a suda. Number one, Shavuos, Bina Nami Lachem, why? Yom Shinin Abo Torahu. Number two, Shabbos, Bina Nami Lachem, because the Pazak in Yishayov, Karas Lo Shabbos Oneg. And Rav Yosef, Hakomodim Bepurim to Bina Nami Lachem. My time of Yom Mishte, Visimcha, Ksivve. So you're not allowed to fast and learn all day. You have to have physical enjoyment. These are the three exceptions to the rule of Chatzi Lashem, B'chatzi Lachem. Rav Nevenzal notes also in his commentary here, beautiful, that really all four are connected to Kabbalah Satorah. All four, of course. Shavuos is Kabbalah Satorah, Purim, we'll see a little bit later in the Parak, by the Shem is Kimu V'Kiblu, and Shabbos, the Torah was given on Shabbos. There's obviously a connection, that's not a coincidence, and Erev Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day that the Lucha Shnios came down, so they're all somewhat connected to Kabbalah Satorah, and whenever there's a Kabbalah Satorah, there is a Chiv, there is a Chiv Su'uda. Again, the Levush also gives another reason. I think we mentioned last time as well, Yom Ishtav Simcha, this is in contrast to Chanukah. Chanukah has no Chiv Su'uda, Purim does. So the most popular answer, explanation given is the Levush, that Chanukah was basically a spiritual danger. There were plenty of Jews that were killed then too. But it was that root of spiritual danger. They would have let us live if we accepted their culture. And therefore, there is a spiritual takana, and that is Neiros Chanukah. But Purim was a physical danger, and therefore there was a physical takana to celebrate. So that's Mishte, Simcha, Umishte, V'yantiv, Umishloach Manos Ish L'Re'eu. Mishloach Manos, obviously, is a huge topic, right? The many suggest maybe it's a Machlokes, the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Manos Halevi, the Trumas Hadeshin. What's the reason for Mishloach Manos? Trumas Hadeshin, so you have something for the Su'uda. That's what he talks about. If you have a non-food item, maybe you're not Yotzei Mishloach Manos. While the Manos Halevi, if Shlomo Alkavitz, in his commentary on this Pasuk, says that it is about Ava V'Achva. Ava v'yachva. Odo sifu mishloach manos ki zeh romes ki heim ba'aguda achas. Uba ava v'achva hefach mash'omar atzar hatzorer mefuzar u'mefurat. So many achronim say, it's machlokes, right? What the reason is it about ava v'yachva, or is it about something for the suda? Could you give a non-food item? What if he doesn't accept it? What if he doesn't find it until after Purim, right? What if he's allergic to something? All different nafkaminas. Rav Asher Weiss and the Menachas Asher assumes that it's not really a machlokas. Right? The Shulchan Aruch is saying the definition of the mitzvah mishloach manos is something for the suda. Why? What's the motivation? Because you want to have ava v'achva. It's not a real machlokas. Again, many achronim though lined it up as a hakira with a nafkaminas. Rabbi Lam writes also in his sefer here that Purim is all about focusing on others. Haman was all about himself. Me, arrogance. While Esther and Mordechai were all about for others. Their whole essence, their whole mahus, was to give to others and to act for others, and that's what we do with the Takana Purim. V'yotam Mordechai Zadrama Eila, Mordechai writes these words, Hadrama Eila, what does it mean? So Rashi says, the Megillah up till here, this question, did Mordechai write it? Anshagat Sakadola, Vayishlach Svarim Elkoi Yehudim, Asher Bechomit Yerazamach HaChashverosh, he sends letters to all the Jews, HaKrovim Varachokim, L'kayem Aleim Lios Osim, not only this first year, but forever, Lios Osim, Es Yom Arbasa, L'chodesh Adar, Ves Yom Chamisha Asar Bo, B'chol Shana V'shana, every year to have this celebration, Kayamim Asher Nachu Bahem Ayudu Me'evim, on the day that the Jews rested, V'chodesh Asher Nepach Lahem Yogan L'simcha Me'ev L'yantif, during the month that was changed to an amazing Simcha month. Many Mefarshim discuss why the celebration on the day that we rested, the Nes, happened on the 13th in general, and on the 14th in Shushan. So why do we have the celebration on the day that we rested? Right? So Rav Chankievsky says, well, maybe it just means because the first year they couldn't do it on the day they were fighting, so they did it the next day. So forevermore, they did it the next day. Right? That's the one answer that you might say. Chassam Sofer says that maybe they wanted Dafka. Interesting. Based on Chaim Yivalashin, you have to have a Jew learning every second, because if there's ever a time in the world that a Jew is not learning, the world would cease to exist. So if you have Purim the same day everywhere in the world, it'll be a problem, because everybody will be being involved in Purim, nobody will be learning. So that's why you have to have it separate days. And you can only have a separate days if you focus on the day they rested. Okay, so far, they quote from the Avnei Nezer's father, one time had a dream. It said that because he was the only one that was learning in all of Poland. That's where the Jews were during that time, you know, so he was going to be Zocha to have a son, like the Avnei Nezer. Okay, if you look in the Minchas Chen, Rabbi Olbam's Haggadah, right, on Datzach Adash Bachav, he quotes, why does Rabbi Yehuda have to do that, Datzach Adash? Just say the Makas. So he quotes from the Keren LeDavid, Rabbi Elazar David Greenfield. He quotes this question, and he says, because a Jew doesn't fight wars because they want to fight wars. They want to be victorious. They fight wars so that they can get back to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ikr of their wars. Not for the victory itself. And that's why the simcha is on the Yom HaMenucha. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to focus so much on the makas. That's not what we're so interested in. Dam, Sfardei, Akinim. You can say it quickly. But the kicker is for afterwards, so we could be have menucha to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are a couple of the suggestions. There are others as well. But that's why it's Kayem Asher Nachu. V'kiba HaYehudim Asher Shechilu Asos, the Jews then accepted what they started to do. That's Asher Katzah Mordechai Aleim, what Mordechai told them to do. Ki Haman Ben Abdasa, last time Haman's mentioned, Haman Ben Abdasa Agag Yitzorah Kol HaYehudim. Right, he adds that in. Chashav HaYehudim La'abdom. Now it gives a little synopsis of the entire story. V'hi Pilpur, he made a lottery. And when she came, when Esther came, she said, "Amar Masefer." She said, "Yashu Machshav," with the letter. Yashu Machshata Arosh or Chashva Lehudim Arosho. Let it go back to him. Basalu Osa Esban of Aleitz, and let him be Beni Hang. They quote Peshem the Gra. Maybe this pasuk is also a remez to use a sitter when you daven. Ubavoa Lefnei Melech. When you come in front of the king, Amar Masefer. Right, use a sefer, use a sitter. Don't try to daven by heart. Alkein karo la yamoela purim, and that's why they call the purim al shema pur, based on the pur, the lottery. Alkein al kol divrei higeres hazos. Right, this whole entire higeres umaro al kacho magi alehem, the whole story. What's the emphasis? Yeah, many mefarshim talk about what's so significant about purim. Usually, you name a holiday after the miracle. Purim is not the miracle. So some say it was just it was the delay, the fact that he did a Pur. Haman wanted to kill the Jews the next day, but used the Pur, which was 11 months later, gave Jews time to get ready to defend themselves and for the and for the Hatzalah. Others say that here Dafka, the Pur became the tool, right? The Pur became the tool of victory, the tool of victory, and the tool of Kadosh Baruch Hu used to help us. Rabbi Foreman, again in the end of his sefer, has an amazing creative shot where he parallels. I think we mentioned this before. Parallels the languages between this sefer and Hafaras Nedarim, the whole parsha of a husband being made for the Nedarim, and he talks about there Ishai Kimenu Ishai Firenu. You can read it without the nekudos, and it could be a remez to this whole story that an isha, a woman. It's up to her whether she's going to be Mefir or be Mekayim. What's going to be, remember what Esther, whether she's going to be quiet and let things happen or whether she's going to stand up and be Mefirit. So he suggests that maybe Pur, Al Shem HaPur, is not just the Purim, but it's about the Hafara, the getting rid of, as in Im Yafer Yafer, Isha, getting rid of the Gzeira. That's what Esther did, and that captures everything that the Megillah is about. Okay, but anyway, this is Pur. To read the entire Igeris, Rav Chaim Kanievsky here in the Time of the Cross says, call the Dibur Igeris, you have to read every single detail, because none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. He goes through so many of the details of the Purim story. At any stage, it could have been that Esther could have gotten killed when she told over who her nation is, and she could have gotten killed. And because Vashti got killed in a second, maybe Esther could have gotten killed in a second. And going and inviting them to a party without telling them what the party was going to be for, and maybe it was her fault, because if she would have said, you know, who she was, then Haman would never make such a Gzeira. So many different stages. That's why you have to read the whole thing. Because if you read the whole story, then you get the appreciation of the whole story. Pazachav Zayim, Kimu v'kiblu ayyuhudim aleim. The Jews were Mekabel, and the Gemara Shabbos Peches, Kimu v'kiblu. They accepted. This was a Kabbalah Satorah, a renewed Kabbalah Satorah. Rav the Sichas Moser of Chaim Shmulevitz says in Ma'amar Lamed Zayin, it's even greater than the original Kabbalah Satorah, because there were some limitations. There was Nasa Venishma. This was total complete. Kimu v'kibla Yehudim Aleihem, v'alzarem, v'alkol anilvim Aleihem, on their children, on all those who came with them, Gerim v'lo Yavar, Leos Osim, Mishnei Ayam Ma'ilah, Kechsavim v'chazmanam. B'chol Shana v'shana, they would keep these days. Ayam Ma'ilah, Nizkar, Menasim, they will be mentioned. Maybe a reference to Parsha Zachar, Venasim, Becholdar, Vadar, Mishpachu, Mishpacha. Every family, Medina, Medina, year by year. V'meipur Ma'ilah, Lo Yavru, Mitocha Yehudim, they will never leave. V'zichram, Lo Yasim, Mizaram, their memory will never leave. That's the last Rambam Ravid in Hilchas Megillah. Right, the Rambam seems to say that we're going to stop reading other books, and the Ravid says, no, of course we won't stop reading them. Okay, or they'll still be part of Tanakh. We'll just stop reading them. The Rambam seems to say maybe they won't be part of Tanakh. Okay, but either way, the Rambam and the Ravid both say that Megillah, there's something special about Megillah Esther, it will stay forever. Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying, everything in Purim is going to stay forever except Chayev and Ishlav Asume. We're not going to need external stimuli to make us besimcha. When Mashiach comes, it's just going to be natural besimcha. We're not going to have to have any external stimuli. Rav Soloveitchik in Reflections of the Rav talks about, what's the foreverness of Purim? The messages. The messages of the Purim story. Number one, the instability and uncertainty that life is about. Right, the pendulum can swing. More, the Jews are down, the Jews are up. Haman's the prime minister, Mordechai's the prime minister. Right, number one. Number two, he says four significant lessons. Number one, man can become Satan. Right, we know that Rachmanel Islam for World War II. Number one. Number two, and he goes through each one here in an article in Reflections of the Rav. Number two, the Jew is more vulnerable than others. They ever want to get a victim, so the Jew's the first one to go. Third lesson, all Jews share a common destiny. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are, you're all going to be part of the Jews. Number four, Hashem does not abandon his people. There is always a salvation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, but those are the messages of Zichram, lo Yosef Mizaram. But Tichtot Esther Amalka, Esther writes, some say that Tuf, this is the last nace, so it's like the end of the Alpha Aleph Beis. That's why the Tuf is written big. But Tichtot Esther Amalka, Mazav Echala, Mordechai Yehud, it's called Tokif. They write it all. Lekaimis, Higeretz Azos, Higeretz Aparam Azos Sheinis, Vishlach Svaram, they send it, the letter to all the Jews, in all the places, Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Can we spoke about that in the Hakdama? Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Right? It's Shalom and it's emes. L'kayim is me'apur me'ilav is manahem. Asher kiyam aleihem Mordechai Yehudi. To keep, to fulfill these days of Purim. And Esther Amalka v'kasher kimu al nafsham. Again, the lashon of kiyam, kiyam. over and over again. Valzarim divrei atzomus v'sakasam, the fast days, the screaming, the cryings. Right, that maybe that's a remez to Tainus Esther. Umamer Esther kiyem divrei aparam eila benechta v'sefer. Again, Rabbi Forman in the sefer talks about why there's so many lashonos of kiyem, and hafara like the Purim, right, to parallel to that section in Sefer Bamidbar. Okay, there's a lot here in this parak. We touched on a number of items, but next time we'll finish up with the last parak of Megillas Esther.